Very good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington this Monday, August the 28th, 2023. And I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Addressing journalists in Harare, the head of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, Justice Priscilla Chigumba, informed the nation on Saturday that the incumbent President Emmerson Mnangagwa was re-elected after garnering 52.6% of the vote, beating Nelson Chamisa of the Citizens Coalition for Change by 8.6%.
Chamisa Nelson CCC 1,967,343, which constitutes 44% of the vote. Mnangagwa Emmerson Lambudzo, ZANU-PF, 2,350,711, constituting 52.6% of the vote. Our total voter population was 6,623,511. The voter turnout was 68.9%.
That was Justice Priscilla Chigumba announcing election results in Harare. President Emmerson Mnangagwa addressed the nation, thanking them for voting peacefully in the just-ended general elections.
The elections have come and gone. I'm humbled by the trust and confidence that you, my fellow countrymen and women, have reposed on me to once again serve as president of our great country, Zimbabwe. There are no winners or losers, but one united people of Zimbabwe. Thus far, we have shamed our detractors who wish to see us divided and in harmony. We shall forever remain a united, peace-loving and resilient people. I'm so happy that the rest of us run peacefully, transparently, and the fair, broad daylight. And I'm happy that there was huge turnout by our people. Yes, I'm aware that some observer missions went beyond their call of duty and began interrogating legislation passed by our parliament. I don't think it is in the mandate of election observers to interrogate institutions of the sovereign government, the judiciary, the legislature, and governance. I believe that their mandate is to observe transparency, peacefulness, and fairness of the conduct of elections, which I'm ready to say no one questions that.
That was President Emmerson Mnangagwa in Harare. The leader of the opposition, CCC, also held a presser alleging a stolen election and promising the nation that he would be advising them on the way forward and urging the nation to be hopeful.
Fellow citizens and citizens of the world, we stand here in the aftermath of a highly, highly contested election. Of an election that poll observers from across the board, all observer missions without exception, have rightly described as an election that is so damaged in reputation and that is so fraudulent in characterization that falls short beneath the requirements of the Zimbabwean Constitution, the electoral laws, and the guidelines of our regional, continental, and global bodies. Let me say that the electoral body ZEC regrettably and once again failed to perform its constitutional mandate by not announcing the correct and the accurate results. Notwithstanding the flaws of the election, genuine results should have been announced. And we have the genuine result because we are working on the V11. It is clear that we are rejecting the election as a sham. the result. The process itself, we disregard it, and it's in line with what the SADC observers have said. We reject this sham result and flawed process based on the disputed figures.
That was the leader of the opposition, CCC, Nelson Chamisa, in Harare. Today, the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission disputed allegations circulating on social media that some polling station agents were being recalled to some polling stations to review some paperwork. Please stay tuned and we'll take a brief break and be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. And we're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And to discuss Zimbabwe's way forward, we are joined by former Cabinet Minister, Mr. Sevia Kasukuwere, joining us via Zoom. We also have Dr. Chipo Dendere and Dr. Elliot Masocha. I will start by you, Mr. Kasukuwere. Are you happy with what was announced by ZEC? Mr. Kasukuwere, I'm not sure if you can hear me. I think we're having technical difficulties there. So I will come to you, Dr. Chipo Dendere. What is your view on what we have seen unfolding in Zimbabwe?
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Kasukuwere.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Are you happy with what was announced by
Hello,
ZEC?
I can hear you.
Yes, can you go ahead and answer the question?
Sorry, yes, I didn't hear your first part. Please, if you can take it again.
Okay, my question was, are you happy with what was announced by ZEC? Mr. Kasukuwere, I'm not sure if you can hear me. I think, let me move over to Chipo Dendere. Dr. Chipo Dendere, please just come in while we're trying to sort out a technical issue. Dr. Dendere, can you comment on what we've seen unfolding in Zimbabwe?
What we've seen unfolding is typical of Zimbabwean elections, where the election is largely free and unfair. And of course, the opposition tends to come out and present their challenges to the election outcome. The primary difference in this election, of course, is that SADC, for the first time, has called out the ruling party and said what you've done has been irregularities, the law hasn't been followed. Even things like the Patriotic Act bill that's on the president's table have presented challenges for the election. And so we are in that sense in a new territory. We started, even SADC leaders, President Ramaphosa today saying that, you know, he congratulates the people of Zimbabwe for hosting harmonized elections, but he was also clear that he is following the SADC report and he would like to see a resolution towards peace. This is new. South Africa is our biggest trading partner, it's our strongest ally, strongest sibling, call them what you will. And this is the first time that South Africa has openly come out after an election to say, hey guys, this is not cool, you know. And I think it's because the region itself is exhausted of Zimbabwe, but also this presents the opposition with a very unique opening, especially because the problems of the election were so blatant and clear for all to see. There is not a single election in this world that can be called credible if people must stand in line from 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. to cast a single vote. That's just not something that happens even in the West illiberal democracy. So I'll pause there.
I'll move over to you, Professor Elliot Masocha. Please give us your view on what we're seeing unfolding in Zimbabwe. Professor Masocha, if you can hear me. Hello? Professor Elliot Masocha, I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, go ahead, please. Give us your view on what we're seeing unfolding in Zimbabwe.
Well, what I'm seeing happening in Zimbabwe, I think it's a lack of understanding that elections are basically won before the election day. Uh-huh. Numbers don't lie, right? If I'm going to look at the numbers of people who are attending rallies, as a political analyst, I can tell you who was going to win and who was not going to win. And yet some people were expecting miracles, okay, on the day of elections, that their voters were going to automatically be more than, you know, those for the other party. And then we look again back way before elections, quoting Professor Walsh Manube, who highlighted that the number of voters voting for opposition parties altogether is getting less and less ever since 2000. Right. And nobody listened to him. And again, we look at the fact that happened before elections, that every time before elections, opposition parties split. And then they will claim to be stronger to beat ZANU-PF. Can anybody who is reasonable tell me how that can happen? And now we are talking about, you know, we are talking about what's wrong with Zimbabwe, wasting time instead of talking about what's going on in Zimbabwe and how to solve what is going on.
Yes, I think we are going to come back to you to be able to tell us, you know, how can Zimbabwe move forward from, you know, this current situation that they're in. But I will stop you there and go over to Mr. Kasukwere. I understand we have him on the line. Mr. Kasukwere, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And your first question is, are you happy with what was announced by ZEC?
Well, I think my view is that everything that flows from a flawed process becomes very difficult to accept. So I have no happiness because the process itself was flawed.
Can you give us your reasons further, Mr. Kasukwere? You were part of the process before, so what is the difference now?
Well, I don't know when you say the process before. I'm talking about from the day the proclamation was made, from the moment the delimitation process was started, all those did not tick the legal boxes that are expected of any free and fair election. As you will know, that elections are a process which is called what is done before, during, and after. So when you are evaluating an electoral process, you look at the legal composition of all the instruments that must be used to carry that election, which is your constitution, your electoral act, and so forth. And then you get to the voting days during the campaigns, obviously, and then the voting day and after. So when you put all that and weigh, one comes out with a very strong feeling that the elections were not conducted in a manner that can be considered free, fair, and credible.
Thank you there, Mr. Kasukwere. Dr. Dendere, if you may come in and please respond to what Mr. Kasukwere just said.
Well, I would like to respond to Professor Masocha. Hello, Professor. It's nice to be on the panel with you. You see that elections are won before the actual voting day. That in itself is very undemocratic. One of the things that the SADC report noted is that giving people gifts like chicken meal, trinkets that were being given to rural voters, that summarizes to patronage and vote buying. Also, people are bused to rallies. People attend rallies unwillingly. There are also people like me who attend rallies for fun. So we go to different rallies. But I only have one vote. So my one vote cannot translate to the number of rallies that I have attended. There is a problem if our democracy is one in which elections are won before the election day itself. And to discount the absolute disenfranchisement of urban voters is unacceptable. I'm not sure if you yourself participated in this election, but I did. I went home to vote. What I saw was my own family members, people that I know, telling us that ballots had not arrived at 7 p.m., at 8 p.m., at 10 p.m. Mothers would not be able to vote because they had nobody to leave leave their children with at home at 10 p.m. People with disabilities were unable to vote because at 10 p.m. they can't see, the conditions are not right. So to discount all of that is to actually do Zimbabwe's democracy a huge disservice. The fact that the opposition was split, there were 12 candidates. The rest of those candidates received supposedly 6% of the vote. That in itself does not matter, at least not in this election. The exit of voters that you mentioned is something that I've said it for a long time. People exit out of the conditions that have been created. It is not normal for a country to have the same levels of outward migration as a country that is at war. Zimbabwe has the same levels of outward migration as a country that is at war. That is in itself undemocratic. It shows us that there are conditions that are undemocratic that make it impossible to have a free and fair election. And yes, for the last 20 years, the opposition has done well, right? So I think it's important to be able to say the opposition is doing well under duress. They're doing
Thank
well
you.
Under duress.
Thank you, Dr. Chipo.
We cannot ignore the previous regime because those regimes set up the terrible conditions that exist now. We cannot ignore that. I'm sorry, Marvelous, for being over my time.
Thank you very much. I'll come back to you. I just interjected because we have a caller. Hello, caller. Makadi, and you? Hello, caller.
Hello.
I want to what the tourist I call a trip to an emimur kupi. Asi mungati ndeve mamwe mapato here kana kuti makwanisa here kuti muende kumapurisa muchinotaura izvi Aiwa, tinotenda kola mugare. Hello, sorry, I think the line is cut off somehow, but thank you, the caller. I'll come back to you, Professor Masocha, to respond to what Dr. Dendere was saying before I go over to Mr. Kasukwere.
I wonder why Dr. Dendere is ignoring the fact that the opposition parties always split towards the elections and then lie to people that they are stronger to beat ZANU-PF. How can that happen, Dr. Dendere, to see strength in splitting? That's number one. Number two, why is Professor Nguve's tabulation of numbers of people who are voting for opposition parties put together ever since 2000 getting less and less. Why is that being ignored? And again, looking at democracy, I don't know whether Dr. understand that democracy is so much complicated and different. In African politics that I studied, democracy, you know, African politics, democracy is totally different from maybe the Western democracy we may want to compare with. If you don't give your, you know, your people something to eat, following the African saying that you are not going to get their votes in most cases. So let's understand what African democracy is, what Zimbabwean democracy is. Ever since 1980, I think we've matured enough to know what the electorate wants. They don't want parties to split, okay? They don't want that. They want to be fed and given goodies, and we can't take that away from them because they're the ones who vote for us. So that's my response to her. Let's build, you know, opposition parties that are united and strong before we claim to win without all 12,000 V11s in our hands showing assets. I was in Zimbabwe from May 22 to August 4th, okay, and I saw what I saw and interpreted what I have told you before, that numbers don't lie. Whether people were bussed or forced, well, but the numbers told us who was going to win and who was not going to win. Whether it was fair or not, that's not up to me to say.
Thank you there. I'll come to Mr. Kasukuwere. What is your take on what Dr. Dendere just said? And also following that, if you can give us what you think is the way forward for Zimbabwe.
Well, I've been listening. Unfortunately, I joined the discussion a lot late. But however, my take is that I think we are in the throes of a crisis as a people and as a country. Whilst we can argue about the pros and cons, whilst we can argue whether this party is big or small, the question that is really on the table is how do we bring about a new dawn for our people and our country. It appears the fight is about position and just being in charge. But as you would see in the past, this election, the lack of preparation by political parties, no manifestos, they did not have a plan. They just wanted to be voted into the offices. I think this speaks volumes to the type of politics for a democracy we have in our country. And hence, we are now being challenged, especially around the respect of our own constitution. As we headed towards the election, a number of laws and regulations were promulgated, were put up by the state, which is a net effect of weakening the competition. And in my particular case, you know, when you then have somebody from the ruling party challenging you from standing as a member of the presidential candidate on the basis that they've been outside the country for 18 months, and this application is placed before a wrong court in our view, which was the High Court, yet it should have gone before the Electoral Court, and the decision is met. And you actually can tell how hard-pressed the judicial officers are in terms of the level of capture, that they have to be looking behind their shoulders to see if whatever they are doing is okay. Now, I've been in this government for a long time. I think I will certainly take part of the blame for some of the things that we think should have been done to correct the situation. But equally important, as I sit here and look into the future, I think we owe our people a better deal than what we're currently doing. We need to give people the necessary freedom for them to make necessary choices. We need to give the people that, you know, respect and dignity that will qualify them to say, I have made my decision as a Zimbabwean. I have not been coerced. I have not been given trinkets, or I've been given a piece of chicken at a rally for me to then be induced to vote for X, Y, Z. And you can also tell there is a pattern that emerges. But in the Matabele areas, where perhaps it's not as easy to coerce people, people voted, and they voted almost on all those two provinces or so, predominantly for CCC. And other areas where it's easy to lose fear. There was a good turnout, but a champion to produce a vote in a given direction. But I bring these things again back to the levels of poverty in our society, the way the state is able to hold our people by the throat and currently like direct them on what to do. The role of funds was a very sad one. We should actually allow people to make decisions. And when you have funds, which is funded by the state, coming in to participate and end up taking a poor position in terms of manipulating the processes, that leaves a very, very unfortunate feeling in many people. So, however, in my view, we need to mature our democracy and we need to follow and respect our rules and regulations. So when you look at what SADC, SOEM has done, the observer mission has done, I think in a manner it's reflective of their concern that the electoral processes have not been able to yield, or let alone have not been able to allow Zimbabwe to be able to resolve their issues together. The challenge we have now is, can we come together as Zimbabwe and resolve our issues so that we stop what Dr. Dendere is talking about, the exodus of our people in the neighboring states. All these states are feeling the pinch of our own failure to resolve our issues as Zimbabweans. It appears there's a special class of Zimbabweans which must enjoy the benefits of the country, and the others who should actually just suffer, and whatever happens to them, we don't care. And I think this is where we have to step back. So it's a leadership call more than an academic debate, which we can do here, which I do respect. But at the end of the day, somebody must take leadership and say, let's rebuild our country. Let's stop and stop pushing our country down the road again and rebuild Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much. Dr. Dendere, your take on the way forward, briefly.
Well, I think the way forward, it has to be anchored in free and fair elections. I think it's really good to say that we should move forward, we should all be friends, because we know that the people that we're supposed to be friends with are not ready to relinquish power. So this message of let's work together should not be directed to the opposition, but should be directed to the ruling party that's been in power since 1980, since long before I was born, right? And now we're adults. Our children are going to be adults soon. And so that party needs to reform, and it has to be willing to allow new blood in, give Zimbabweans a chance towards dignity. And that's all Zimbabweans want, a chance towards dignity, a chance to have running water. You know, there are kids in Stungwiza right now. When we're talking about the way forward, we're talking about the fact that there is a child in urban Zimbabwe who doesn't know that the function of a tape is to release running water. There is a child, there is a woman in rural areas in Zimbabwe who has to go on a wheelbarrow when it's time for them to deliver their child. That are levels of indignity. So when we're talking about the way forward, I mean, those who have been in the ruling party have been wealthy, they have money, they have all these things, but the rest of Zimbabwe doesn't have that. So the way forward is, how do you bring everybody in urban rural, in urban areas and in rural areas to live a life of dignity? There are children right now who are
I'm sorry, time is not on our side. Unfortunately, we don't have extra time like in soccer. And that brings us to the end of our show. Shining off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, saying have a very good night and thanking all our guests and, of course, you, our viewers and listeners who were with us tonight.